Attorney General Merrick Garland spoke today for the first time since the FBI searched the Florida estate of former President Donald Trump earlier this week.
First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
Attorneys for the former president have said the search was related to documents taken from the White House as Trump left office, documents that archivists and others say belong to the federal government under the Presidential Records Act. The New York Times has reported that some of those documents were classified and believed to be highly sensitive documents related to national security. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to this news? What questions do you have about this FBI search and the rules around classified documents? What do you want to hear from the Justice Department beyond what we heard from the Attorney General today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. David Schultz is a professor of political science at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He's the author of the book Politainment, The 10 Rules of Contemporary Politics. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me again, and thank you to the audience.
Seems like there's maybe more that we don't know at this point than we do know, but what are the basics? What stands out to you as the key facts in this chain of events right now?
Well, first, what's important to note here is that the Justice Department, the FBI, just can't go in, and contrary to what people are saying, and ransack a place. They have to go to a judge. They have to convince them that they have probable cause, that there is a reason to search, that that probable cause has to indicate what they're looking for and why they think there is evidence of a crime or something like that. And that's just important. I wanted to mention right off the bat here so that it's not like it's just sort of it happens or something like that. So what stands out to me is first the fact that they could convince a judge in a situation like this that there was probable cause to do a search, that believed that there was some evidence of a crime. Now, we think it's related to, as you pointed out here, the Presidential Records Act, but it could also be information tied into the investigation for the January 6th investigation. We just don't know. There's a lot we don't know at this point. And once the search warrant is unsealed, we're going to have a little bit better idea. But right now, what's striking me is the fact that normally this would be, if it were like David Schultz or was Jane Doe, whoever it be, we wouldn't be making a big deal out of it. And this would be a pretty routine search. The fact that it's an ex-president of the United States in a highly charged political atmosphere, that's what's causing a lot of the issues. And plus, I would say that I suspect this is why Merrick Garland said he thought hard about it. And I suspect a judge thought long and hard about this before issuing the warrant.
I want to listen again to Attorney General Merrick Garland earlier today on that topic of the warrant.
Just now, the Justice Department has filed a motion in the Southern District of Florida to unseal a search warrant and property receipt relating to a court-approved search that the FBI conducted earlier this week.
I want to break that down. As I understand it, these are items that President Trump, via his lawyers, would have, the actual warrant and the receipt of what was removed from Mar-a-Lago. That is what Merrick Garland is saying. Hey, we want this released to the public, based in part on the fact that former President Trump had talked about this search publicly. What would that mean?
What would it mean to release it? Well, first off, it's of course the case that Donald Trump could release the information regarding the warrant because the warrant had to be issued to him. So it's his choice. He could have already released it. The second thing is that this warrant wasn't issued by a judge until after what my understanding is there had been already efforts and requests made to the president and his staff to return what they think were items that were improperly taken from the White House and placed, at Mar-a-Lago. And so those are, I think, are important things to underscore here in terms of it. And when the Justice Department making the request for the warrant to be unsealed, once that happens, we're going to have a full idea regarding what crime the president was being potentially investigated for, what the search was looking for. It's going to have to state with particularity what they're looking for. We're going to get a lot of details that will clue us in exactly where I think the investigation is going.
And that could take a while. Now, one thing that isn't included in that, as I understand it again, is the case made to that magistrate judge, the background information, what led them to ask for this warrant, that wouldn't be revealed. And that's information that might affect an ongoing investigation, too. There's a limit as to what we would see if this stuff got released.
You're absolutely correct, because under standard, let's say, freedom of information requests, and generally, which is what the case in this country, if there's an ongoing criminal investigation, the prosecution, or in this case, the Justice Department, does not have to release that information because it could obviously affect the case in some way. So we're just going to get to see the warrant. The warrant, again, is going to specify what they were searching for and where to look for it. So we're going to get that kind of an idea in terms of the items that they were looking for. And it's, again, important to understand here, warrants can't be fishing expeditions. They have to state, this is a legal term here, they have to state with particularity the person's places or effects that are going to be searched and what they're looking for.
Talking to David Schultz, political science professor at Hamline University, law professor at the University of Minnesota, looking at the FBI a search of Mar-a-Lago, the home of former President Trump. The announcement, the brief announcement by Attorney General Merrick Garland talking about it today. A lot of open questions there. Do you have questions, reactions you want to share? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. David, I think a lot of people out there are extrapolating from this search in different directions in ways that I think outrun the facts at this point. One line of reaction is, aha, this means former President Trump is about to be indicted, whether people like that idea or not. We don't know that yet, right?
Correct. We don't know that. It is entirely possible that when they did the search, they did not find any evidence of a crime. And therefore, we can't make that kind of conclusion that would go the next step. But even if they found some stuff, there still has to be a determination whether or not the possession of this material was in violation of the law. Is there, again, at the end of the day, enough evidence to now indict a person? The requirements for doing a search warrant are not as significant as actually indicting somebody, which of course eventually means even if somebody is indicted, as we all know, it has to be what? Proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So there's a various stages or levels of proof here, and mere search warrant does not constitute or give us evidence that somebody is imminently or if at all going to be indicted for a crime.
Another line of reaction, mostly from former President Trump supporters, is, aha, this shows that the Biden administration is misusing the Justice Department to target a political opponent. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, the check in the system is a judge. At the end of the day, let us say for the sake of argument, Merrick Garland said, I'm just going to get the ex-president. We're just going to make his life miserable. He still would have to go and convince with evidence. Again, we're not going to know what is right now. Convince a judge to issue a search warrant. That, according to our Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, is the check upon, let us say, this type of allegation of rogue political activity. Now, I also want to point out here, I think it's important to think about sort of, let's say, parity here. Remember back in 2016, there were allegations that then Secretary Clinton, Hillary Clinton, who was running for president, that she had also violated the Presidential Records Act. And there were warrants issued up for her server, including, remember, an investigation that was reopened, just a matter of days before the election. The reason why I mention this, put these two together here. We actually have a Justice Department now that has pursued its duty against both a Democrat when a Democrat was president, and has pursued it now against a Republican. And so for people who are saying, you know, what's the big deal? This is all political. No, in both cases, judges served as the check. And the people who are doing a lot of the decisions here are the civil service. They're also the apolitical people who are not the appointees.
And some have gone further, including at least one United States senator saying that the FBI might have planted evidence that they claim to have obtained during the raid. This, I think, going well beyond any knowable facts at this point.
It does. And also, given the security that is probably at Mar-a-Lago. It's a private residence, a private country club, if I remember correctly, that I think it would be very difficult for the FBI to somehow sneak in, plant this evidence, convince a judge that there's real evidence there that they need to search for. This is, I don't want to quite say getting us up to kind of the UFOs and Elvis sightings arguments, but I would say it kind of gets us in that direction.
We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota, with us today to talk about the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago and what it tells us about possible legal risks facing former President Donald Trump and the procedures, the legal procedures involved in doing a search like this. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Based on what you've seen so far, often limited information, do you think this is the right move by federal law enforcement? Do you worry about this search coming off as political? What kind of oversight do you think there should be in a case like this? What questions do you have? What reactions? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's estate, Mar-a-Lago in Florida. What we know, what we still don't know. David Schultz with Hamline University and the University of Minnesota stays with us. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What is your reaction? What questions do you have about all of this? What's your reaction to the reactions you've seen out there? Do you know people upset by this, happy about this, all of the above? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David, in one sense, as you suggested earlier, this is kind of routine business for the FBI. They go to a judge, they get a search warrant, they execute the search warrant. It is very non-routine. It's a former president. It's going to get more scrutiny. Do you think it should have more scrutiny given the, you know, a concern about even if this is legit, this is a power that could be abused in the future?
You know, I'm sort of two minds on this. You know, when I first heard the story about this, I thought to myself, this is good. This proves that even presidents or former presidents aren't above the law, that they too, you know, have to, you know, honor a search warrant and follow it. So that's sort of one mind. The other mind is, let's say, from a more realistic perspective, I can't help but think that when the Justice Department went before the judge in Southern District of Florida and said, we want a search warrant, even though he's not supposed to, or he or she, I'm not sure if it was a male or female judge, but the judge probably is thinking it's a former president. There really better be a lot of good evidence here for supporting this. And so I suspect de facto, in reality, the burden was even greater on the Justice Department because of who the person was. And I think everybody thought about this probably a little bit more because of the possible, let's say, political blowback or repercussions that might occur if this didn't go well. So I think in reality, probably a lot more evidence than would be required if they were searching, let us say, most of the listeners out there with a warrant.
We heard from Cole in Madison at 800-642-1234, couldn't stay on the line, but says it was important for the DOJ to clarify what the cause was to minimize politicization. Now, this is heavily politicized, a lot of political conversation about this. What did you think of that statement, David, from the Attorney General earlier this afternoon, explaining what he could and explaining what he couldn't tell us about?
Well, I think it helped a little bit in terms of trying to clarify some stuff. But I still come back and say the most important thing he did, I think, today was saying he was going to make that request to have the warrant released to the court. That, I think, gives us a lot more information. And the longer we wait on this, and I know the judicial system has to, you know, do its job or something like that, we're going to get a lot of, let's say, speculation. And I'm not sure if the Justice Department, our Garland statements today, did much to cut down on the speculation on either side at this point.
What do you think of some of the angry reaction that's been out there, threats against members of the FBI, against the judge in particular, who, at least according to some information, released this information? That, in part, is what Attorney General Garland seemed to be speaking to as well today.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct here. And that, I think, is one of the scarier parts at this point, is the fact that we seem to be undergoing a crisis in confidence or a crisis in the trust in our judicial system. And somehow we think that everything is done for political reasons and that there isn't, let us say, a legitimate legal or, in this case, you know, criminal investigation purpose. And I don't know how to sort of fix that problem. Yeah, but I do want to come back again and say, I'm suspecting for many of those people who were criticizing what the judge did in the search warrant today, 5 years ago, approximately, that's actually longer, 2016, yes, you know, 6 years ago, were probably cheering when the FBI executed a search warrant against Hillary Clinton. And so I want to come back to that because they're parallel. They're closely parallel in terms of types of searches that were being done for possible violations of the same law.
Talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota, looking at this FBI search of former President Donald Trump's home and resort, Mar-a-Lago, looking apparently, according to some reports, for documents removed from the White House when the president left office. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions or questions. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. David, according to some reporting, President Biden and his aides were caught by surprise with this search earlier this week and did not know that Attorney General Garland was going to make this address this afternoon. At least publicly facing, it seems like they're trying to really reinforce this idea that the Attorney General and the Justice Department are acting independently of the president.
If in fact that's accurate, that's actually a very good sign that there's been this on-again, off-again sort of assumption that the attorney general is what? The president's attorney. No, he is not. He's not his personal attorney. And the attorney general is supposed to act independently. You know, was it 50 years ago when there were concerns that Attorney General Mitchell was just operating as what? Almost a, I don't know, as Nixon's attorney during Watergate, people were saying, no, we need somebody independent to look at possible crimes. And so here it's sounding like what they did was to insulate, that is the Justice Department, insulated the president so that he would not have any information regarding this. And I think this is actually good because you don't want the president sticking his nose in to these type of criminal investigations so that you can say that, listen, the Justice Department made its own decisions, followed its own internal procedures, went to court and did what it was supposed to do.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Denny is with us in Ogdensburg. Denny, hi.
Hi, I have a point. My question is, the Justice Department, I think, is morally or legally bound to not release documents to protect people who there was a warrant against in case they're innocent. But President Trump's got the warrant, and he's got the list of goods that were taken. He could release them anytime. If it's that ugly, why doesn't he release them?
Denny, thanks for the call. That would be an option, as I understand it, for President Trump, former President Trump, David, to release these documents.
Yeah, he could at any time release the warrant. He could describe what they were looking for, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I also want to underscore that this warrant apparently came as a last resort. There had already been requests made to the president and his staff saying that we think you have a variety of documents that you took with you when you left the White House and they're at Mar-a-Lago, made requests for it. Apparently, again, if the facts are accurate from what I understand, refused to honor those requests. And so the warrant becomes a last stage request because, of course, we can always voluntarily comply with requests from the government. The warrant is when what? When somebody, in some cases, has just refused to comply or follow the law.
Thanks for that call, Denny, at 800-642-1234. Rod joins us now in Minnesota. Rod, hi. Rod, are you there?
I just want to say that Donald Trump, from the day he probably was born, he sat there and he done this compulsive lying. And I believe that he'll keep doing it until the day he dies.
Rod, I gotcha. We heard the radio in the background there with a little delay. But can you talk about the former president's response so far, David, and how he has characterized this FBI search?
Well, he's characterized it as what? As a raid, as an intrusion on his rights. I'm not sure if he's quite gotten to the point of saying, well, it's a bunch of thugs who are acting lawlessly and so forth. But clearly, you know, he's put it in terms of, like, again, other words like witch hunt. I can't remember the exact words he's using here. So he's not treating this very nicely. And it's also important to realize this has probably not been a good week for him, because at the same time this was going on, he was also back in New York with the ongoing investigation in New York regarding his business dealings. And he pleaded about the Fifth Amendment, apparently, what he said, to a variety of questions. So he's facing right now what appears to be multiple investigations on several fronts. I think there's still an ongoing investigation in the state of Georgia regarding his efforts to try to affect the election outcome there. So he's facing a lot of, let's say, legal challenges right now.
In our last minute or so, David, what are you watching for in this very obviously ongoing story?
Well, what I'm looking for, of course, is when the warrant is released and see what it says. And then that'll give me a better idea. Is it solely related to, again, the Presidential Records Act? How does this perhaps fit into what the January 6th committee is doing? And ultimately, how does it fit into perhaps any decision that the Justice Department may be making, possibly regarding any illegal activity the president has against surrounding January 6th? And so that's what I'm going to be looking to see at this point, how this warrant and how this information really sort of comes together in terms of helping us the investigation. But again, last point I want to bring up here. Remember, Donald Trump's a private citizen right now. He's not the president. All of us have an obligation to comply with the law. And even one of the things that we learned, again, from 50 years ago with the president of the United States, when they issued a search warrant to the president, presidents, even as presidents, are expected to comply with the law, because I think the broader statement is what? Nobody is above the Constitution in our society.
David, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you to the audience.
That's David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University and of law at the University of Minnesota, with us today to talk about what we know and don't know about the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago, former President Trump's home in Florida.